Anytime Flex is there. So every time you come to church, just come and be joining them. Thank you very much. God bless you. Thank you for performances of 2024. Thank you for being a blessing. Grace of the Lord will continually be upon you. Fresh anointing. The crown of your head to the sole of your feet. And everything that concerns you all is secured in the Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Once again, good morning, church. Happy New Year. For those of you we are seeing for the first time, Happy New Year. Hallelujah. For those who are seeing for the third time, Happy New Year. For those of you we are seeing for the second time, Happy New Year. Amen. And those of you that we are seeing for the fourth time, thank you very much. Hallelujah. This is the fourth service we're having this year. Amen. And I was telling you something last year. I said, in the spirit, there's no holiday. Hallelujah. Amen. So when people go on holiday, you know that things continue in the spirit. So that by the time you come back from holiday, the spirit will have moved though. Hallelujah. But be constant. Amen. And keep your walk in God. I said, don't be putting on this name. Don't be putting on this name. Hallelujah. Amen. Everybody knows my name. Write what? My name. Don't write my name. Hallelujah. You know, when we were growing up, and we used to go to church, it was our mothers that used to lead us all in dancing. Abi, I don't know about you, but when the church I went to, all the mothers, they would all be dancing. So it was infectious. We also would dance. Okay? Then, our fathers don't come to church except on first Sundays. That's why we grew up. Don't worry. Now, our fathers are coming to church. Our fathers didn't used to come to church except on first Sunday. And when they come to church, they come to church with the agbada and they stay at the back. Huh? And when it's time to praise God, one hand of the agbada will be down like this. The other one will be up like this. They will put their hand here and then they'll be looking at all of you. And what's wrong with you guys? Hallelujah. And then we'll just laugh a lot. When we get to our father, we'll be like, why are all of you up and down? I mean, but I said, no, Allah. And then I looked around this morning. I saw that things have turned around. That is the elderly ones that are dancing. And these small ones are looking at them and saying, ah, what's wrong with these people? Hallelujah. You know, sometimes when you have experience, they won't tell you before you start dancing. Amen. But you need to learn to worship God. At the very young age, you learn to praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. And you know, when we sing to God, or when we sing songs like, when the Spirit of the Lord is upon my soul, I will dance like David danced. One thing that is sure that David did was that when he was dancing, his robe fell off. Abi, that's why his wife could tell him, why are you disgracing yourself? Eh? So please, when you are dancing, dance till your robes fall off. So we know that you are dancing like David danced. Amen. If I tell you certain things, you won't believe it. But I used to go for dance competitions and I used to win when I was a boy. See the way Mr. J is looking at me. I used to go for dance competitions. I used to come out tops. I would come first, bad days. You should be always following me. I'll go for bad days. I'll come back and dance and win. And you know, it's very funny. It was breakdance. We used to dance then. It was breakdance. So anything like a dancing could do, I was able to do. And then over time, I began to lose touch. Toby, you read Psalm 119, verse 62. I mean, 162. Please let me display 162. Is that Psalm that made me remember? And then I thought I'd lost touch. Then we went to church and we started dancing. And then on the day that I was doing my engagement, up to now, that's the only day I remember that I've danced the most in my life. And every time I look at that day, and that's the thing that won my father-in-law's heart. You know, because if I tell you that man's story, then my wife was going to take me to the house, sat at the table, sat at the other end. The man just kept eating. He said, I should come. He just kept eating and eating. I mean, I just sat down and said, what will you have to say? And he didn't say much. All he just wanted to do was just observe. So I didn't really have any rapport with him. Then we got married. We went for engagement. And that day, I danced like never before. I did the things that I'd not done in that my short life then, that day. Amen. I danced so much. My mother and I danced. In fact, at the end of the day, you know this song? Come on, Olejo Baba. Come on, Binu Omo. Do you know that song? I'm sorry if you don't. I'm not Yoruba, but pardon me. So that song says that you cannot be like your father. And then people will be angry with you. You understand? So for that day, they changed the song. Omo Olejo Mama. That this one, you cannot be like your mother. And then they'll be angry. I danced like never before. You know, when it's raining, I will be forming. When it's raining, you don't go inside the rain. No, rain cannot touch you. That day on my wedding, it was raining. It started drizzling. It was showers of blessing. I was laughing. Then the showers became drops. It was knocking our head. Yet the Alaga Iduro, the people that were collecting the engagement, whatever, said, you have to continue. So in the prostrating, I was prostrating inside the rain. Hallelujah. So I paid a very big price for this woman. Amen. So, and I was wearing the traditional ashoke. You know the ashoke, that one. So imagine that my ashoke was soaked. And then they say, you have to go to this corner, the bale for this. This is the family of this one. That will carry the heavy water like that. I say, voila, this work. Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible says, I will rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure. So this story I told you. Because I thought I found treasure. That's why I didn't look back. Abi? That's why I didn't look back. Every single thing I did was, it's treasure. This is, what do you call it? Is it reboot? Or this is where the Lord has brought me. Abi? Because what I was seeing was not all, anything they told me to do that day. I told myself, how many minutes? We'll soon be done. Hallelujah. And then we'll go. And literally, when we were done, we went far, far, far away. Hallelujah. I think we went to Eleko, that side, far, far away. We got there around 11:30 p.m. I said, well, it's me and you now. Whatever happens, it's just you and I. We went far, far away. But when you find a treasure, what happens? You keep it within your eyes. Hallelujah. You never let it go. And then you do everything to secure it and guard it. Amen. He says, I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure. God's word is the greatest treasure anybody can find. Amen. As it is written, it is the greatest treasure you can find. So if you don't know how to treasure anything, hallelujah, it may be difficult for you to treasure God's word. But thankfully, all of us know how to treasure things. I've told you the story of a man that bought a new car in quotes. It's the one that the Yoruba people have used that they brought to Nigeria. He bought a new car. And because he so much treasured the car, the shoe he wears in the car, he does not wear it outside the car. You get what that is? So that there will not be sand in his car. So when he wants to enter his car, I thought my friend was kidding when he told me. I went to his house. He said, we want to come and see something. This guy, he does not wear the shoe that he wears from the house into his car. And when he comes back, he does not wear that shoe in the car. I thought he was kidding. So that morning, he woke up, and we were outside. And we were watching the man. Then he came out. He came out, got to his car, sat in the car, dropped the shoe by the car, outside the car, and then entered. And I think somebody took his shoe, the other one inside. He said, my friend said, he just bought that car. And nothing, no debt must enter it. Not even from him. I said, so how will he do it if you have to give somebody lift? He says he doesn't give anybody lift too. He's a treasure. That's how important it is to him. He said, this thing must not be dirty. So even him must not carry debt. I said, this guy. So that means that if he wants to use another shoe at work, that means he will go and clean under that shoe. Abi? Amen. Hallelujah. It's 2025. We are not going to make any mistake this year. Hallelujah. We are not going to make any mistake. Please give me the last those sentences that to be read from the confession. Last part of it. The one before this one. He says, this year I am filled with the intelligence of God. Huh? God's intelligence. He knows no bound. And God's intelligence surpasses that of any human being. Amen. So when he's leading you and saying, go to the right, okay? He knows what he's saying. You can't make a mistake. He says, I'm sponsored by his mercies. Hallelujah. And then, I'm sustained by his grace. Hallelujah. His intelligence, his mercies, and his grace. Amen. You can't make a mistake if you have those three. Hallelujah. And you shouldn't make a mistake. If you are not in Bible school this morning, please go back and read Matthew chapter 5. I know that we don't record Bible school. Okay? We don't record it. You just come here and go back and read it. It says you are the light of the world. Abi? You are the salt of the world, sorry. And then you are a lamp that cannot be hidden. Set a city set on a hill that cannot be hidden. We will not make a mistake this year if we keep the word of God within our focus. It says, rejoice at God's word. It is as though that you have found a treasure. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, treasures are not, I don't know how to say it. And I'm sure that everybody has found treasure at one point or the other. Even these children. I remember in 2022, when my son went to Dubai. I went for a competition. And so funny. And then I was waiting for them to just tell me that they finished the race and this is the result. And then when my wife would call, she said, Sadi, there's a problem. And then she told me the problem. I said, don't worry. I said, where is he now? He said, he's just getting to the stadium that he has missed his first race. And that was supposed to be his best race. He has missed his first race. I said, don't worry. He said, but it's not okay. He's crying. He's doing all that. I said, don't worry. Let me speak with him. So I put him on phone and he was sobbing. I said, no. I said, that's one. There are two more or three more to go. So you have enough. You have enough. I said, so if you really want to show who you are, let this one go. There's no point crying over split milk. There's no point. You have to look ahead. Hallelujah. Calm down. I say, if you go to this starting line and do anything, you have to be first of all calm yourself. So that's why they always tell you that it's except you have gone through something before you can encourage somebody. So I told her, I said, that's how we do it when we run. So I said, go in the name of the Father. And I told his mother, calm down, he'll be fine. So he went. When he came back, when they would call me, he said, this one is done and dusted. He has qualified for the next round. I said, this one is done and I said, that's the way God works. And then to top it off, he came back as the most valuable athlete for that category. He found a treasure. You know what he does with the treasure? When he's arguing with his cousins, I say, you know children the way they are? Hey, who are you? This one. I say, guy, go and check me on the internet. Because it's a treasure. You will always refer to it, or you always guard it jealously because it's your achievement. So I called and said, no, don't make it look like you are proud. He said, no, that is, he said, that, you know, it's the way it is. He says, it's the way it is. And then I started to laugh because the Bible also says, do not speak of yourself more highly than you should. But treasures, they mean so much to us that when we always look at them, and that's why the Bible also tells us that the grandchildren, they are the glory of their grandparents. That's why it looks like grandparents always spoil the grandchildren. When you tell them, sit down and say, they're going to leave them, blah, blah, blah. I say, did you tell me to sit down where you were bringing me up? I say, your own is different. It cannot be different too. Because they see it and they see the replication. Amen. We are, the intelligence of God is our intelligence. We are sponsored by his mercies. Hallelujah. And then we are sustained by his grace. Amen. Today is the first Sunday of the year and it's our communion and family meeting. Amen. But you know that family meeting this year, family meetings are for questions. Which question do you want to give me for this? Hallelujah. Which question do you have for us in 4 days? Let's go to Exodus. You know, when God was talking in the book of Exodus, I think in chapter 12, he gave them the Passover. And the Passover he gave them, he was preparing them for freedom. Right? In Exodus chapter 12, if you want to read my mind, Exodus chapter 12, verse 1. It says, now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, so they were still in the land of Egypt. And we understand what the land of Egypt is to them. It was land of slavery. Okay? The Lord spoke to them in the land of Egypt, and he said to them, this month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamp, according to his out to the house of his father, a lamp for a household. And if the household is too small for the lamp, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it, according to the number of persons, according to each man's need, you shall make your count for the lamp. Your lamp shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat it. So take note of verse 7. We'll come back to verse 7. It says, then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in fire with unleavened bread and with bitter herbs. They shall eat it. Do not eat it raw, nor boiled at all with water, but roasted in fire. His head with his legs and his entrails. You shall let none of it remain until morning. And what remains of it until morning, you shall burn with fire. And thus you shall eat it. So take note of verse 7. And then take note of verse 11. It says, and thus you shall eat it. With a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. You shall eat it in haste. It's the Lord's Passover. It says, for I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night. And I will strike all the firstborns in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. It says, now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. It says, so this day shall be to you a memorial. I shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall remove leaven from your houses. For whoever eats leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off. Let me go to verse 17. So you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread. For on this same day, I will have brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore, you shall observe this day throughout your generations as an everlasting ordinance. Amen. Hallelujah. So, he was saying to them, at this point, he was giving them instructions for the Passover. And I always give it to Moses, Aaron, and all those people in the scriptures. They are not exposed to as much resources as we have. Okay? I don't know how they manage to remember every detail of the instruction that God gave them. If you look at Noah, he said he didn't miss any detail. Okay? Moses said the temple was according to the pattern that God showed him. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. Sethman and I were going to visit. And when the person, I think I've told you before. So the person said, when you get to the estate gate, please tell them, just tell them MY. For so. That was a code, though, so that the person would have told them at the gate that NY, blah, blah, blah. And so by the way, you know that it's me that they call MY. All this MY that you people always write. I don't know. So we got to the gate. What I was told was tell them MY for so so so. So when I got to the gate, I just the security person came. Said, look like I said MY for so so so. I was looking at me. How was this man saying? I said MY to see so so so. So she now went to the supervisor. I went and said MY for so so. Yeah, you say, yeah. Mayowa. You know, the shock that took Setman and I, it was unbelievable. I said, Setman, what did I say? Setman said, you said MY for so so. I said, so where did this other person get Mayowa from? Just now, in the space of 3 seconds, between the car and the table. And I know that the other lady told her, MY. So where did that one get my wife from? And we're just laughing. This is how people change instructions. Eh? And then you change the entirety of the instruction all over. For kind of like, even my wife does not, if I told them my wife, they should query me and say, we will not allow you in. Because what they were told is MY. Hallelujah. So we laughed and laughed and laughed. I said, this is how the simple instructions of God, people miss it. Because if the one that was given by man, in fact, between the time I got to the gate and the time the person passed the gate and I got to the gate, it was less than 1 hour. Hallelujah. And here, God is telling them that you shall observe this feast on the same day. Blah blah. He was preparing them for freedom. That's what the Passover was doing. Hallelujah. They were still in Egypt. They had not left Egypt. They would take the Passover and they would get ready. Abi? Said that night, then he marked said he marked the doorpost. Okay, so the post, so that you know that the remote people that are very deliberate in all these things. The post is the ones that stand upright. Huh? So if you are playing football, for instance, and I tell you that I hit the ball and I hit the post, I'm telling you what I should mean ordinarily is that I hit any of the ones that is standing upright. If I tell you that I hit the post and I'm talking about this one, I'm telling you wrong thing. If I tell you about the one that crosses horizontal, I will tell you I hit the crossbar. Huh? So they are very deliberate. And God was also very deliberate in the instruction he was giving them. He said, the 2 doorposts and the what? And the lintel. And what's the lintel? The lintel is the one that binds the 2 doorposts together. And if you look at it, if you paint it, anyhow you do it, it will be like the sign of the cross. Because it's the lintel and the 2 doorposts. Hallelujah. But he was saying also to them, verse 11. He says, he gave them how they will do it and how they will eat it. And don't be alarmed. That some people will still kill the Passover and they will eat it in this manner. Don't be alarmed. Hallelujah. Amen. It says, and thus you will eat it with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. So you shall eat it in haste. It's the Lord's Passover. It says, their belt on their waist, their sandals on their feet, and their staff in their hand. It was preparing them for freedom. Because once they eat it that way, after they've eaten and after they've taken the Passover, the angel will pass. And in the twinkle of an eye, Pharaoh will change his mind and chase them out in a haste. Okay? So all that he did with the Passover was to prepare them for freedom, for the next level. And he's saying that this is how you have to be ready because you are going to move with an instruction. And so when the firstborn of the goats, the livestock, and he didn't take Pharaoh a second to change his mind. So go and chase them out. And they had enough time. Go and take the spoils of Egypt. Eh? So they are going. So they are going, no problem. We cannot leave empty handed because God has also promised them that they will not leave Egypt empty handed. And you know what? Everything that they worship God with in the wilderness, they took from Egypt. Amen. If they killed, don't go and say, Pastor Emma said they killed 1,000 rams. Oh. If they killed 1,000 rams in the wilderness, they didn't find the 1,000 rams in the wilderness. They took them with them from Egypt. when they were going to build the temple, and they said everybody should bring items of gold for the temple, everything that they had with them was what they took from Egypt. So you can imagine how much they left Egypt with. Huh? God makes a provision for every vision he gives us. Hallelujah. But the important thing is that he prepares us ahead. Huh? And he told them categorically, said, if you do not mark the doorpost, the angel of death will surely visit. Huh? You know, we were reading this morning that you are the salt of the earth. Huh? And if salt loses its flavor, what can be done? Nothing. It'll be contaminated. He's saying that, stay within my instructions. Because if you go outside of it, I will not be able to help you. The only time God can help you is when you are within his instructions. You know, when people die, we have the habit of, maybe from where we come from, we have the habit of keeping the body. Some people keep it for 6 months, say they are gathering money before they go and bury the body. And the day they want to bury the body, that's when everybody will now come and be saying lengthy prayer on somebody that has died 6 months ago. That's not going to help that person at that point. Anything you are going to do after somebody has died, or after anybody's death, anything you are going to do then is for the people that are alive that they can pick from. I told you 2 years ago when my friend's father died. Now he called me and said, my father has died. I said, no problem. He said, where is he? He says he's in his car. He's taking him to the morgue. I said, okay, I will join you. And then we got there, and then we had to present the body in the morgue, and we had to enter the morgue. And there's no respect in the morgue. There's none. All this one that you before me, that when someone will ask you, say, divine, come here. Are you talking to me? Are you talking to me? Me. And that's why he says you die. The Bible says you should die to self and be alive in Christ. Because there's no respect for the people that are dead. So when I entered the morgue that day, I was looking up like this, as if I'm looking at this clock, so that I will not see the bodies. No, they won't rise. But I did just want to see the bodies on the floor. Because all of them were just lifeless. And then they were talking. They say, this one is one justice. I said, justice. You know what it means? That he will have determined the fate of certain people. And then the attendants in the morgue were supposed to determine the fate of his body. They can kick it. Hallelujah. Don't worry, it's the beginning of the year. You have to learn this thing so that when you are going through the year, you will learn how to behave. You know, we have read Genesis 17, verse 1. They say you should walk before me and be blameless. You should shun all evil. So, when my friend and I entered, the guy was still feeling, I couldn't look, I just was lost looking up like that. And I was talking to you, I didn't make a mistake. You know, he said, don't turn to the right or to the left. I understood that scripture that day. I didn't turn to the right or to the left, neither did I look up or down. Hallelujah. By the time we came back for the body, so this time they were very kind to us. They did not allow us into the main room. They had brought the body out, and it was okay to look at the body. So when a person dies, truly it looks like he's sleeping. That's all. All those scary things you think of is nothing. When a person dies, it just looks like he's sleeping. It's emotions that all of us now carry on. The person just looks like he's sleeping. Truly. Hallelujah. But he says that, look, so what I'm saying is that at that point, there's nothing. Someone say, Baba mi, which is loyi, tojo omwe o, there's nothing. You know what I'm saying? They look at the body, say, my father, this one I've gone to heaven, no, take care of your children. He cannot do anything for you. He cannot. I was laughing at my friend. My father, it will be 25 years now that my father died. 25 years in May that my own father went. I said, tell your father that when he gets to heaven, if you ask for Mr. Drew Uju Senior, you help him. You are just laughing. Because it will not happen. There is no help you want to give anybody once the spirit leaves. He has gone back to the one that has sent it. The help you can do is what we are doing now. So if you are hearing the word of God and you are not mixing it with faith, or you say, why do they always waste their time coming to church? Huh? When the chips are down, when the chips are down, what are you going to hold on to? When Grandpa was talking to us this morning, when we were looking at, I think it was Genesis we were looking at, and then we talked about help and the helper. When Christ was saying, he said, it is experience that I go so that the Holy Spirit will come. He says, the comforter, eh? The helper, your intercessor, Abby. And I said that, look, and it occurred to me when he was speaking, that was when that revelation came, that if truly it will be a roller coaster ride, you know what a roller coaster ride is? That when you push, the thing will just be going. You know when you sit down on a car or those swings and you push, it will just be going non-stop. You know, the way they like to deceive us, the thing will just be going non-stop. When it gets to a point, it will slope down, then go. That's what they call a roller coaster. But you know that the roller coaster actually does not go forever. It just makes use of the situation around it to gather speed. And that's why you see that you will not see a roller coaster ride that is on a straight line. You will never see it. You will see it go up and then a sharp drop. You know why the sharp, why it is, what they are doing with the sharp drop? They are using the sharp drop to give it momentum. So that when it has momentum and it's going to climb the next height, it's that momentum that it's dropping with that will take it up. Eh? Life is not a roller coaster ride. That's why he said, I will send you the helper. Because you will need help along the way. Hallelujah. And that's why he said, I will send you the comforter. But if you don't take cognizance of the names of the Holy Spirit, if you look at Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6, we are still in Christmas mode. Give me Isaiah 9 6. It says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government will be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. These are offices that the son will occupy. Abi, he will be called Wonderful. He's a counselor. If you don't need counsel, why would he be a counselor? If there will be situations where there will not need for counsel, he doesn't need to be a counselor. Hallelujah. And if there's a situation where, if there won't be a situation where you need a father figure, then he will not be called Everlasting Father. Hallelujah. The names of Christ are very deliberate so that you can always have adherence or alliance with that name. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't worry, I've not forgotten you. We are talking about the doorpost, Abby, and the blood. Trying to pick something. I want to make. John chapter 14. And verse 15. It says, if you love me and keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. Hallelujah. Amen. Who was the first helper? It's Jesus. Hallelujah. Because he was helping them. He was helping everybody to see what God exactly meant in all the scriptures. Because everything had been turned upside down. People were not doing the right things. They were not following the right things. Okay? So when he came, he was teaching them by the scriptures, showing them the scriptures and saying, today this is fulfilled. He was showing them this is what is meant. The scribes and the Pharisees, everybody. He says, you people, you tithe cummins and vegetables. Eh? But you have left the weightier matters of the law, which is love. Okay, so he was teaching them, he was helping them to see clearly what the Father meant. He said, it's no problem. I will pray the Father and he will give you another helper that will abide with you forever. Meaning that in our walk in life, we need help to stay on track. Hallelujah. Nobody should be forming that I'm done, I'm made. Hallelujah. Nobody should be doing that. Okay? Because if we don't need it, there's no need for it. You know, when people build houses, so I was telling us, okay, it was that man that was telling us of recent, like where he went to. He went to one particular country. They don't lock their door. They don't. So I left Ibadan. This is 2025. So I left Ibadan about 20 years ago. So 20 years ago, when I was in Ibadan, if you want to go to bed, mother would say, Olumuwa, have you locked the window of the toilet? I said, why are we locking window of the toilet? I said, no. So every night, you will lock, you go, it's the louvers that we have. You go and, you know that the louvers, now that makes noise, okay? You go and lock it. If it doesn't make that sound, I've not locked it. So you know, okay. So we go around the house. God help you that it's a 10-bedroom apartment. You just go to each of the 10 bedrooms and be locking. So we take almost 10, 15 minutes to lock. Then we go to bed. And then when you wake up in the morning, you go and open it. Have you opened all the windows? You open it. So if you lock the window at night and you open it in the morning, so when we go to office, what will happen? I mean, when we all of us have gone to school, is it not the window not open? Why are you giving us wala? I'm saying that and up to now, my mother cannot go to bed without locking everything. Amen. So when I'm home, and she's like, go to bed, make sure you lock up after me, blah, blah, blah. I just get up. I make sure I lock it. Because I will not hear the last of it. When she wakes up, even at this age, she will tell me, you are in my house. You do what I tell you to do. I don't even want to hear that. So I just go. I make sure that when I say, yeah, let's lock. In fact, I don't make a mistake. Once I enter the door, you turn the key. Because that's why she made provision for it. I'm saying, to her, what's the essence of all these things if you're not going to make use of them? So if the Holy Spirit is the comforter, what's the use of the Holy Spirit if you are not going to access it? So if he gives you an instruction and you're not going to keep to it, what's the essence of you saying that, Father, I belong to you? And that's what he was telling the Israelites. He said, look, if you don't do what I tell you, your eye will see what these people will see. And God was so gracious to them. I said, look, if one of you has an Egyptian as a spouse and he happens to be behind the door of those doorposts, then it's fine. Amen. But he was preparing them for freedom. All that Passover, it was like the next thing after that was freedom for them. I think I said, how many verses did I say you should keep for me? Give me Exodus 12 verse 7. Okay, we've talked about this one. I think I said verse 11. Okay, it says, and thus you will eat it with the belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. You shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Hallelujah. In year 2025, you have to be ready. But things are going to happen, and it will happen like in the twinkle of an eye. So if you have a plan for a business, for instance, and you know that in this business, this will be the requirement. Even if you don't have, if you are not ready for that business, go make sure you get all the requirements ready. Hallelujah. Because when you suddenly see that opportunity, it will be that you require those things. And it will be too late for you to begin to look at. So they say, so for instance, in my field, if you want to register a company, for instance, in my field, they will say you need somebody that is a registered, a a registered engineer on the Council of Engineering for you to be able to register these things. So if I want to do an engineering thing, I cannot but look for another engineer or an engineer, someone that has that certification to be part of that thing. Abi? So you have to be thinking ahead. God has not made any provision for us without even thinking ahead. If you go to Genesis chapter 11, in Genesis chapter 11, you see that when they wanted to build the Tower of Babel, they were talking amongst themselves. Huh? And they said, build the tower into the heavens. Genesis 11, it says, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. At this point, the sons of men were what? They were talking. But God was seeing that they had built it because they could. See what the Bible says? It said, but the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. If you look at the previous verse, it says, come, let us build. Abi? Ourselves, a city and a tower, whose top is the devil? Let us make a name for ourselves. Hallelujah. And to me, the only reason why God scattered them, it was that their purpose was to make a name for themselves. If the Bible tells us that God is able to do for you exceedingly, abundantly, above that which you can dare to imagine or think, huh? He will not drop it if it's his glory. When people begin to imagine things so that they make names for themselves, it will take them nowhere. Hallelujah. Amen. So go back to where are you coming from? Exodus. Yes, 12:11. So it says, you shall eat it with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. So you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Hallelujah. When you have these kind of instructions, I'm telling you now that this instruction came to them and it was not about what is happening now. It was about what will happen later. Verse 21. It says, then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said to them, pick out and take lambs for yourselves according to your families and kill the Passover lamb. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that's in the basin and strike the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out of the door of his house until morning. For the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and not allow the destroyer to come into your houses to strike you. And you shall observe this thing as an ordinance for you and your sons forever. It will come to pass when you come to the land which the Lord will give you, just as he promised, that you shall keep this service. And it shall be when your children say to you, what do you mean by this service? That you say is the Passover sacrifice of the Lord, who passed over the house of the children of Israel in Egypt when he struck the Egyptians and delivered our household. So the people bowed their heads and worshipped. Then the children of Israel went and did just as the Lord had commanded them. Just as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so they did. Verse 29. And it came to pass at midnight that the Lord struck all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on his throne to the firstborn of captive who was in the dungeon and all the firstborn of livestock. So Pharaoh rose in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt. For there was not a house where there was not one dead. Then he called Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise, go out from among my people, both you and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as you have said. Also take your flock and your herds as you have said, and be gone and bless me also. And then the Egyptians urged the people that might send them out of the land in haste, for they said, we shall all be dead. So the people took their dough before it was leavened, having their kneading bowls bound up in their clothes on their shoulders. Now the children of Israel had done according to the word of Moses, and they had asked from the Egyptians articles of silver articles of gold and clothing. And the Lord had given them favor, had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they granted them what they requested. First, they plundered the Egyptians. Amen. Then the children of Israel journeyed from Ramses. So immediately that same night, after they killed the Passover, the plague came. And then the Egyptians lost all their firstborns. Whether you were a slave or whatever, they lost it. And it was in the middle of that night that Pharaoh said, tell your people to get out of this land. But you know what destruction God had given to them? He said, you will eat it with your belt around your waist, your sandals tied to your feet. Because God knows what he will do and what will happen. So imagine that they summoned Moses and Aaron. And then he now went back. Everybody, you need to start. Is that the time you start getting ready? Because he will change his mind again. God said, you will eat it in haste and you'll be ready to move. Hallelujah. Romans 15 verse 4. And then of course, we saw it here that the Egyptians, the Israelites went to the Egyptians and they asked for articles of gold, of silver, and then it says they plundered the Egyptians. Everything they took away. Romans 15 verse 4. It says, for whatever things were written before, were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of discourse of the scriptures might have hope. Hallelujah. We know, because we have seen it in the scriptures, that this was a shadow of things to come. Hallelujah. It's not so much so about the story. It's so much so about the principle of the story. Because immediately after the Passover, it was freedom for the children of Israel. Hallelujah. And the prison was brought to them by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. They avoided destructions by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. And then in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 26. I'm going to read from verse 17. Matthew 26, from verse 17. It says, now, on the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, disciples came to Jesus saying, where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover? I remember very well that we have said it over and over, that the fathers of old, they were very good at passing down instructions from generation to generation without missing it. Hallelujah. Amen. If you look at the story of, if you look at Isaiah 9 verse 6, and when Isaiah 9 verse 6, and when Christ was born, technically it's about 600 to 700 years. Okay? And then those wise men, okay, if you trace back the Bible, you see that they were from the generation of Daniel. Okay? And every instruction they read, okay, they read about the coming Messiah, they kept to heart and passed it down one from one generation to another, up to the generation that will pick the star and begin to follow the star. So they saw the star once the Messiah was born. But they did not get to the Messiah immediately the Messiah was born. Hallelujah. Yeah, the Bible says they were from the east. And I think I've told you some of physics and science before. That when you see a star, if you look at the sky now, and you see a star that is blinking, it's not blinking now. It has been blinking some years before. So if you calculate the distance of the earth to the stars, and you calculate the speed of light, if you use it to calculate, you know how long ago that star has been shining. So when they saw the star, that's when they moved. And that's why when the wise men got to the boy Jesus, he was already a boy. He was not in the manger. It was only the shepherds that saw the little boy Jesus, because they were in the field and the angel said to them, what did he say to the shepherds? Abi olugbala fun yin loni. Because how do you say around in English? Oh, we just read this thing. We just Luke chapter 2. We just read it now. So when the angel spoke to the shepherds, it was an immediate thing. Okay, they were in the fields and said, today, a king is born. That's what I want to. I look for it. It says, then the angel said, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David, who is Christ the Lord. So the shepherds were the ones that saw the one that was born in the manger. The wise men saw the boy Jesus that was in the house. Hallelujah. Go and read it again. When the wise men came, they went to the house. They didn't go to a manger. It was the shepherds that went to a manger. Don't worry about all those places that we gave you when we were in primary school. That the wise men came and brought him gifts in the manger. No. It's the scripture that you should follow. So when the wise men came to him, he was already a boy. And that was why Herod said, he inquired of the wise men, said, when did you see this star? And then he calculated it and said, that means this guy must have been born like 2 or 3 years. And that's why he ordered that every male child from 2 years down, so that they don't miss it. Don't miss anyone. Just kill them. Hallelujah. That's the principle behind that 2 years, 3 years. Amen. So the wise men did not see the baby Jesus. They saw the boy Jesus. Hallelujah. I read it to us on the night of... you see what it says? And when they had come into the house, if it was in the manger, the Bible has said the manger. It said, and when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary and his mother, with Mary's mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. And then they opened their treasures, and then they presented gifts to him. He will present the gift to the boy Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, in Matthew chapter 26, that we're reading from verse 17, saying that they went to him, they went to Jesus and said, where should we prepare the Passover? Whatever things were written before, they were written for our learning. Okay, so Christ himself did not kick away the Passover. He observed the Passover. And I told you that that Passover was indication that after this, there's freedom. Hallelujah. And this Bible records here that let's go to the next verse. He said, go into the city. A certain man said to him, the teacher says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples. My time is at hand. And his time was going to bring freedom to you and I. He had to take that Passover before that freedom came. Hallelujah. Once it's Passover, Passover is not freedom. It is after the Passover that freedom comes. Then he says here, next verse. So the disciples did as he had directed, and they prepared the Passover. When evening had come, he sat down with the 12. Now they were eating. He said, assuredly, I say to you, one of you will betray me. And they were exceedingly sorrowful. And each of them began to say, Lord, is it I? He answered and said, he who dips his hand with me in this dish will betray me. The Son of Man indeed goes just as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, who was betraying him, answered and said, Rabbi, is it I? He said, you have said it. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave to the disciples and said, take it, this is my body. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Amen. And then he sung a hymn and they went out to the Mount of Olives. For you people that don't like him, still, they sung him. Christ sung him. Some say, that's Kenny. Kenny say, I don't know how to play hymns, but he can play any other kind of music. Hallelujah. So if Kenny was part of the 12, you would like, Christ, why are you doing him? Let's do freestyle. Hallelujah. He says, where they are sung him, they went to the Mount of Olives. But he says, look, go to 2 verses up. 27. He says, he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for the remission of sins. Amen. That seems, and that's the blood of the Lamb that God instructed in Exodus, okay, is synonymous to the blood of Christ. Hallelujah. And until that blood is shed, after that blood is shed, that's when freedom will come. Amen. And that's why Christ made sure that he instituted that feast, that Last Supper, before going. Amen. Before going to get freedom for you and I. Hallelujah. And he said that you should do this in remembrance. As often as you remember, anytime you remember, do it. Hallelujah. Or what was he saying? Take my body and take my blood. Do it in remembrance of me. Amen. Hallelujah. You are going to step into freedom. Nothing was bought. Nothing that you have is free. That freedom, now they say free. Freedom is not free. Hallelujah. A price was paid for it. And a price is paid for everything that all of us enjoy. And so that we will not have any confusion about, because if you read only Exodus, people say, are you Jews? That's what they will tell you. Are you Jews? When you are talking to some people, you know they're very stubborn. And so they wrote it for Jews. I mean, are you a Jew? Hallelujah. I've met some people like that. I say, are you a Jew? It says in Romans chapter 15. And I read from verse 7. It says, therefore, receive one another just as Christ has received us to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ has become a servant to the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made to the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written. For this reason I will confess to you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. And again he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Lord him, all you peoples. And again, Isaiah says, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he who shall rise to reign over the Gentiles. In him the Gentiles shall have hope. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says that the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Amen. Our freedom was bought at a price. The price of the blood of Christ. Hallelujah. And the freedom that we have. So let me tell you this. So if you buy the films you used to watch, if you buy a slave, so assuming that I own Mr. Sajiri. I own Mr. Sajiri. It's my own. And I want to sell him. How much shall I sell him? How much should I sell him? So if I want to sell him to happiness, for instance, that you are going to be serving happiness. When I sell it to happiness can say, this one, let me see. No, get muscle. He will not be, I'm going to have to feed him and you have muscle and all that. So this one that you're asking for, let us assume that I'm asking for 100 billion. I cannot. I'll only give you 1 million. Then once I sell him to happiness, you know that I don't have power over him again. It becomes happiness zone. And happiness will now say, come. There are many of you here, you are subject to all the other ones here. So he gains freedom from me. But he doesn't gain freedom for the one that bought him. Abi? So he goes back and becomes a slave to the one that bought him. Hallelujah. So we are purchased by the blood of Christ. Hallelujah. But we don't gain freedom from Christ. Amen. We become sold to Christ. Hallelujah. So that we don't have any choice of our own again, except to do the will of our master. Amen. So that freedom that everybody cries and then everybody begins to misbehave is subject to your new master. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Let me see 16. 15. 14. It says, for the love of Christ compels us, because he taught us that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. I only use happiness and Mr. Sajiri. Don't go and sell them and don't buy him. Hallelujah. So that you can understand that once you gain freedom from one master, you are not free from the one that bought you. Amen. He says that for this he died so that all those who live should live no longer for themselves. You know what it means to live for yourself? Is to take no cognizance of the fact that there is a helper, there is a comforter, and there's an intercessor. Then you begin living for yourself. Everything you do, say, I sabiam. You know, when I was growing up, we didn't, there was no pipe-borne water where we lived. So they dug one well, and that well, you know Doro? All these children, I can't know it. You know Doro? Mr. Adesomi will know Doro. Kola, where's Kola? You know Doro. Who else you know Doro? You know Doro. You know what Doro is? A bucket. So you use the inner tube of a tire to make like a bucket. And then it has a handle. And then you go and buy, either you buy the rope that they use to tie ram, or you buy the synthetic rope. And then that rope, you not knot it at regular intervals so that when you want to pull, it doesn't slip. You pull him by that rope. Eh? That's how we used to fetch water. So there was one, but it was not good enough to drink. Because when you look into the well, you see algae, then you see some tadpoles, everything. You can't drink it. So during the week, my mother would carry 50 liters, this normal 50 liters, to put two inside the car. And then we'll go to UCH. We fill it because that pipe on water, we fill it with water. And it was my mother. So as I knew, I grew up, I saw her doing that. Then after a while, when I got to like secondary school, where we go and fetch water like that, she want to carry that. I said, no, don't carry it. I'm not a man, I can carry it. So I will carry the little kegs. And then we go like this. My mom will be screaming, why are you doing this? Carry one by one. I said, no. I will lay. I said, I'm too much. I won't balance like this. Hallelujah. That's how some of us do when it comes to Christ too. So I'm too much. I can carry it. You forget this thing. Live on. My mother will cry. So what my mother does, what I know how to do is that when she's filling those two kegs, she put it on the back seat of the car. On the back seat. One year. And then she will make sure that the spout of the keg faces the door. And the door here. So when we get home, she will get a bowl and then decant into that bowl. And then we begin to carry those bowls one by one. Then once the keg is of a manageable size for her, she will leave the keg out of the car. So when it was my own turn, say, leave that thing. You don't know how to do it. Don't bring any bowl here. I'll carry the first one here. Put it down. Carry the second one here. And then I start going. And then we go. Say, Muiwa. Olumuiwa. Your back. I said, don't worry. I say, Awali. That's why I used to say Awali. Too much for this one. That's what all of us tell the Holy Spirit. Forget that thing. You don't know how to do it. Maybe I've seen you do it. I've learned it. I can do it better. I don't need your help. It says, no one should live, that those who live should live no longer for themselves. It's not by what you think that you know how to do, or what you think that you know how to reason. If you go back to Psalm 119 verse 162, that says that the word of God is a treasure. That's what the Bible says, that the word of God is a treasure. You will do according to the pattern that has been shown to you by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. It will impress upon your heart, and then you begin to do it. Please go back to 2 Corinthians 5. Just there, 2 Corinthians 5. That nobody should live any longer, but for him who died for them and rose again. So the one that died for you, he has a will. He has a reason why he died. He has a reason why he rose. Hallelujah. Those are the things you need to begin to unravel. See, that God will bless you is a given. Amen. That you make it is a given. If you have 10 minutes to spend with God, don't go and be saying, God bless me. Don't go and say, God, let me make it. Use that 10 minutes to begin to unravel the spiritual truth that you do not know. Hallelujah. Although I have not been exposed to. Amen. When they took the Passover, they were to be ready for the journey ahead of them, because there will be freedom. Hallelujah. When Christ was making them take the Passover, and he said, look, this is what you'll be doing in remembrance, because now my time is up. I am going to do what I've come to do. I'm going to buy, purchase for us that freedom. Same thing. Same way it happened in the old scriptures. It's the same way he gave to us. They were just two different personalities. Hallelujah. Because God was showing them the things that were going to come. And at this, it is here now. Amen. The life you live is no longer yours. Amen. You have a new master. Hallelujah. So I free my divine slave. I free him to Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. But whatever Christ tells you to do, that's what you have to do. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. Whatever he says to do, that's what you have to do. It says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, as in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. It says, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. So anything that you are hearing, it has to be what the Son is saying. All right, let's go to the next part. Let's go continue. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. He says, no, please go back. He says, upholding all things by the word of his power. Hallelujah. By the word of his power. Go back to Psalm 119, verse 162. Says, I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure. Amen. Go back to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. That word, he says, he's upholding all things by the word of his power. When he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Next verse, next line. Having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Hallelujah. That instruction you need to work with is instruction that you hear from Christ. Hallelujah. Forget about how you know how to do things. Amen. Doesn't mean that you won't do things. Forget about it, because he will give you new instructions. Please give me the last part of the confession for this year. We have the intelligence of God. We are sponsored by his mercies. And then we are sustained by his grace. That part of that intelligence part says, I am filled with the intelligence of God. Amen. That intelligence comes from the word of God. Hallelujah. And then we are sponsored by his mercies. And then we are sustained by his grace. That's what is going to bring us harvest. Hallelujah. He has gotten us that freedom. Amen. But because he gave us that freedom, we are now subject to him. No longer should you do things by yourself. Hallelujah. But by the will of him that has brought us. Let me rise on our feet this morning. And let's just talk to God. When he was going to address Moses and was going to talk to him about the Passover, he says, this will be the beginning of beginnings. Hallelujah. At whatever point you're taking that Passover, he says, that's going to be the beginning of beginnings. Hallelujah. And then when Christ was saying to his children, he said, look, I'm done. The hour has come and my time is up. So it's the beginning of beginning for them as well. Hallelujah. And as we start a new year, hallelujah, a new calendar year, we make every time we gather on the first day of the month, we take the communion. It's the beginning of beginnings. Amen. And you need to take advantage of every word of God that you know. Hallelujah. So that you can align yourself with what God wants. Amen. If any Israelite was outside of the doorpost, then he was not going to be a partaker of life. Amen. If anybody does not accept Christ, then that life that he has brought, John 10:10 says, I've come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. If anybody will not hold on to Christ and confess him as Lord and Savior, he's not going to be able to enjoy or partake out of life. There's a difference between living and existing. Many people are existing. They are not living. Hallelujah. This man exists, but he cannot do the things that I do. Many people are existing and they are not living. But if for those who say that they are living, what is important is that they must keep to the word that the Lord has given to them. Stepping out of it will be very dangerous. Let's talk to God this morning. That indeed, this is a new year, a new calendar year. And as we take them as milestones, we use that as a point of contact. That even as we take these milestones, truly it will be to us the beginning of beginnings. There will be freedom in all aspects. After this day and going forward, that every time we adhere to his instructions, we will see the end that he truly intends for us to see in Jesus' name. Father, we give you all the praise. Just pray to you this morning. Just thank you. Rekabos katabandi bos ketolia. Ekebo katamblat ketimbos katalia. Ekrabu katanda bos ketolia. Ekabro sekre de bombas katalia. Neklato bras katabos ketidinda bladiska. Nekrabase krabos kapumba da basatalia. Ekratos kataliga da baska da basalia. Makrabu kapos ketabuga base kalida. Limbluska kapuske kibunga diskatalia. Linklandos kebo pradiska da bruska da dinsadalia. Ekapuske de ligrabu katise de ligra da basalia. Ekapuske de ligra da basalia. Makanda busalia. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, the Bible says, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread and he gave thanks. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take it, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. It says, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till it comes. Amen. Hallelujah. Verse 23 says that, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take it, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. That are just simple acts of obedience. And what do you remember when you remember Christ? Remember that he paid the price. Hallelujah. And the price he paid is for us to have access to God. Amen. For us to have access. And then he intercedes on our behalf. Hallelujah. Amen. No longer are we going to lay him to the cross because we'll be following our own ways. But it says now the life that we live, we are no longer living for ourselves. Amen. So every promise that he has, that is embedded in Christ Jesus, becomes ours by virtue of his sacrifice. Hallelujah. So as we take this communion this morning, let us understand that truly the very life of blood, the very life of God flows on the inside of us. And while we just begin to remember the story or the acts or the things that surrounds the death and the resurrection of Christ, remember that he did it for you and I so that we may have that freedom. And the freedom is to be able to worship God and have access to him. And then when you worship him, everything is yours. Hallelujah. Whether you are sick in your body, well, anything, nothing shall by any means be against you. Just thank him. And if you have to make peace with God before we take the communion, just make peace in your heart, knowing fully well that you will not go back that way. You no longer live for yourself, but for him who died and rose for you. Father, we bless these elements of the communion. And thank you most importantly that our understanding as we take it is enlightened. Hallelujah. Thank you because everyone that will take these elements of the communion will truly understand that purchase that you made by your blood. Hallelujah. Thank you for redemption of our soul. Thank you because indeed you intercede on our behalf. We give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name.